want to encourage every man, and I'm telling you, men, you need to be there. You need to be there. The retreat is April 13th and 14th. That's a Friday evening when it starts, going into Saturday. Now, the information is in the back on the table. After church, you could register. And I'm telling you, it's a good deal. You know, the best part about it is that if you need to be refreshed, if you need to be revived, and I don't care how long you've been saved, we all need to be revived. In fact, Pastor Keith said that he's not going to even minister at the retreat. He's going to be right there with us in the audience because he needs to be refreshed. He needs to be revived. So I'm telling you, you need to be there, guys. It's going to be at Prayer Lake in Letchworth, Louisiana. And all that information is back there on the table, the directions and everything. The cost of the retreat, which is really awesome because it pays for your room and board, and it also pays for your meals. Amen? So it's really a good deal. So just get with us after church at the back table. Someone will be back there to help you out so we can go ahead and get you guys registered. Amen? Ladies, look at your husband and look at your significant other and said, you're going. All right. Praise God. Also, on April 20th, for all the seniors, somebody shouted with that one. I say for all the seniors, on April the 20th at 11 a.m., Elevate Adult Senior Ministry will have a meet and greet. It's a free event. So if you're a senior or if you know someone that's a senior, invite them to come out on April 20th. And we have some pamphlets in the back. If you care or desire to get one, you're more than welcome. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. All right. Nick, let's go ahead and get everything set up. Thank you, Lord. Just bear with us just a second, guys. We're getting everything set up. And we're going to... This is a great time. It's offering time. Oh, we should have got a better amen than that. Guys, can I say something right quick? God. I'm going to ask the choir to go ahead and bless us with another song before we get ready for the message. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
How many of you know that we serve a good, good Father today? Hallelujah. The Lord can do exceedingly abundantly all that you could ever ask. Anything you could think about, the Lord can do it for you. Hallelujah. Worship with us today.
It's who I am. It's who I am. crucified. They think you're like, but I've heard tender kiss, press of love. In the dead of night, as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
personal. He said she's perfect in all of your ways. Yes, you are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, yes, you are perfect in all of your ways.
Say to me, to me.
Said you're mighty in all of,
mighty in all of your ways.
You're so big, Jesus. Yes, you are
mighty in all of your ways.
So you've never been defeated yet.
You are mighty in all of your ways. To us.
Oh, you're mighty.
Mighty in all of your ways.
Yes, you are.
You
yes.
are mighty in all of your ways.
You are
mighty in all of your ways.
Say to me.
Say you're good.
You're a good, good father.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Come on, give God some praise. Come on and give him some praise. That's who he is. That's who he is today. That's who he is today. He's a good father. Yes, he is. He is a good father. Come on, give him some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Because you're so perfect in all of your ways, Jesus. You're so mighty. You're so faithful. You're so loving. Faithful.
Faithful in all of your ways.
You are
faithful in all of your ways.
You are
faithful in all of your ways to me.
One more time, say faithful.
You are faithful in all of your ways.
Said he's faithful even when I'm not
faithful.
Say to me, Jesus, you are faithful.
You are faithful. come on and give him some glory.
Hallelujah.
I said, come on and give him some glory.
Glory.
The Lord is faithful. Even when you're not faithful.
Hey, hey, hey. Jesus. 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 Come on, just say the name. Jesus. The Bible says, in Him, we live, we move, and have our being. In other words, we are puppets, my Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a huge hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Guys, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts to receive the word this morning. Pastor Keith is preaching in New Orleans this morning. But praise God. We have a brother. He visits here, he and his family. I've been knowing him for a short time. But I know that he's a mighty man of God. And I also know that God is going to use him this morning to give us a rhema word straight from the throne of God. So if you will, I would like for you all to give a warm Elevate Church welcome to Pastor Alvin as he comes to deliver the word of God this morning. Amen.
It's all right. It's all right to praise him. For this purpose we came, hallelujah. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. It's all right, let it out, let it out. Let it out, let it out, let everything, let everything. Let everything that has breath. Let it praise the Lord, let it praise the Lord. Let it praise the Lord, come on, shout it. Let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. Let it out, let the devil of God got a voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God got a people. Hallelujah, with a praise on the inside. Come on, let it out, let it out. Let your praise go forth, let your praise. Let your praise, let your praise. Let it go forth, let it go forth. Shake the foundation. Shake the foundation with your praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Set somebody free with your praise. Set somebody free with your praise. Lift somebody up with your praise. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him, it's all right. It's all right. It's your time and God. It's your time with your God. To get your stuff from God. It's all right to praise him. Come on. Don't let the enemy shut you up. Hallelujah. I ain't too tired to praise him. I ain't too stressed to praise him. Hallelujah. I'm not depressed that I can't praise him. Hallelujah. Come and elevate your praise. Elevate your praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Don't be like the children of Israel by the rivers of Babylon. The Bible said, there they sat down and they wept when they remember Zion. The Bible tells us, they said, that our captors required of us a song. And they hang their harps upon the willow trees. Little did they know, hallelujah, that if they had just began to sing, their captivity would have turned around. I stop back to tell you today, take your harps off the willow trees and sing unto God a new song. Praise him till your captivity has been turned around. Praise him till your bands are broken. Praise him till the enemy fall to his knees. Praise him. Glory to God. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Praise God. You can have your seats in the presence of God this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I wish today that we would just let it go. Hallelujah. Sometimes we become too formal with God. It's time that we just let it go. Let God have his way. You see, I'd rather hear from God than man. Hallelujah. When God speaks, it's a sure word. When God speaks, it will come to pass. There is no shadow of turning with the Lord. I give an honor to the head of my life and my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was said earlier on, in him we live. In him we move and have our being. What Paul was saying is that God is our environment. He's everything to us. He's our all in all. He's our wheel in the middle of a wheel. He holds all things together. Also giving honor also to the angels of this house in their absence. Apostle Keith and Lady Richard. Amen. They are not here in their presence, but their prayers are with us. Amen. I trust today that you came prepared to meet with God. I hope today that you have an expectation of God. Because I often tell folk, don't ever come into the house of God without an expectation. Don't treat my God like that. Don't just show up. But come with an expectation. Looking forward for God to do something. Because we are not serving a dead God. We are not serving a God that is made with hands of man. But we are serving a God that said in the beginning, let there be. And because he is who he is, what he declared is still standing. That's the God we serve. So when you come into his house, don't insult him. Show up with an expectation. Say, God, I'm coming to meet with you. And I'm not going to leave out the way I came in. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to leave bitter. I'm going to leave better. Oh, praise God. If you have your Bibles, which I want to give honor to all of you in your respective, amen, position in the house of God. And know for a fact that we all are important to God. Amen. The Bible also encourages us that we ought to give honor to the members that are least significant. Because every joint supply. Amen. Our pinky finger, sometimes we don't study that. But if you were to lose it, you'd realize that some things are more difficult to handle. Uh-huh. So the person that is sitting next to you they may be a pinky, but to God they're an important member in his body. So look at the person next to you and say, I need you. Come on, you don't mean that. Say, I need you. Amen. God never intended for us to make it on our own. Amen. If you have your Bible, still with me to the book of Matthew's 21st chapter. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of that chapter. Amen. Thank God for our praise and worship team. Amen. They always bless my heart. Amen. And when I walked in, I was saying within myself that it would just keep on going. Amen. Because sometimes we just need to get in the presence of God and worship. Tear the program up. Throw it out the window. Throw our heads back and say, God, this is your moment to do your thing. Hallelujah. So now we gotta give God a crazy praise. You know what a crazy praise is? A crazy praise is when you're just going about your normal thing, duty of the day, and that praise just came up. No reason. And folk around you looking at you like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And then there's another praise. It is called because of. Because of your goodness, God, I praise you. Because of your mercy, I praise you. And then there's a praise I call the in spite of praise. In spite of my struggles, I'm going to praise you. In spite of how I feel, God, I'm going to praise you. And then when you finish all those praise, there's another praise that I love the best. The just in case praise. Just in case after all those praise, the devil's still around. You have a just-in-case praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying God this morning. Let's stand for the reading of God's word on today. And I promise you, I will be before you no longer than I will be. Amen. And it reads, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and came to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and they called the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and threw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the most, is the, in the high, sorry. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? When he came into Jerusalem, all in the city was moved, saying, who is this? The subject of my message this morning is, who is this? Who is this man that is causing all this stirring? Who is this person that is causing the city of Jerusalem to be in an uproar? Who is this? Who is this? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory and all the honor. For who is like unto thee, O Lord God, amongst the gods? You are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praises, and God, you are doing wonders. We come before you full of expectation, knowing that you are the God that answers prayer. Father, I stand before your people. Touch me. Make me your oracle. Cause my word to be yours and yours be mine. Touch my tongue and my lip and cause it to be that of a pen of a ready writer, flowing with your ceaseless words. Give me clarity of thought, God, and exactness of expression. I thank you now, God, that all spirits are subject unto you. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Who is this? Now, this Sunday in what we would call the religious calendar is celebrated Palm Sunday, which coincides and signifies what is called Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And churches all around the world that believe in the name of Jesus, that believe that God sent him and that he died for our sins, today would find themselves celebrating Palm Sunday. It was great fanfare in Jesus going into Jerusalem. But when we look at Jesus' ministry before this event, which was happened the last week of his life, we see that Jesus tried everywhere possible to dissuade folk and people from giving him any public acclamation. When he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he told his disciples, he said, "Don't tell anyone what you saw and heard." He said, "I don't want anyone to know what happened." He told his disciples another time, he said, "Don't tell anyone that I am Jesus the Christ." When he had fed the multitude, the Bible said that the people in their heart wanted to hold him and make him king. When he realized what they had in their heart to do, the Bible said he slipped away easily because he did not want any public recognition. But here we see a change in the way he was operating. In the past, he tried to keep everything quiet. The Bible said everywhere he went, he was doing good. But he never boasted about the good he was doing. He never proclaimed himself to be anything but a son of man. But here, we see Jesus instructing his disciples and saying unto them, "Go into the city. You're going to see a colt tied up." He said, "I want you to loose that colt and bring it to me." He said, "But there's something special about that colt. No one has sat upon that colt before. And it's going to be significant when we see his burial." He came to Jerusalem on a colt that was never ridden before, and he was buried in a tomb that was never used. But strange as it is, when it comes to our lives, he's taking a life that is broken, messed up from the floor up. A life that is confused, torn and twisted. And he's saying, I want to be your God. I want to live within you. But he came into Jerusalem on a colt never ridden. The Bible said when they brought it to him, the people, without being prompted, took their clothes, put it on the colt, spread their garments in the way, cut branches and put it in the way, and placed Jesus on the colt. But you see, something happened prior to that caused the folk to become excited. Is when Jesus caught Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And he said, "Behold, your king cometh, humble, riding on the colt of an ass." You see, when he quote that text, the people remembered the 9th chapter of Zechariah, when the prophet prophesied that their king, the Messiah, the one who would rule, would be coming in humbly on an ass. So to realize if that's what's going on, well, then this is the Messiah we have been waiting on. This is the king that has been promised to us. Because they were under the oppression of Rome. And they believed that the king that would come would destroy the power of Rome and put back the Jews where they're supposed to be. They didn't expect that their king would have to die. They didn't believe that Messiah had to lay down his life. So when they came into Jerusalem with all the fanfare, with all the triumph, celebrating Jesus' entrance, oh my God, that Sunday they were hailing him. But in a few days, they would be nailing him. The same folk that were saying, "Hail, Hosanna to the Most High," would be the same folk who would join with the Pharisees and say, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Isn't that something? And somewhere like us, when things are going good, we're full of praise. But you ain't gonna like this preaching today. When things are in our favor, we're full of praise. We'll shout the place down. We'll knock over the chairs. The ushers gotta hold us down. But the minute things begin to go wrong, our song has changed. Our praise don't become a problem. We're no longer celebrating. And sometimes we go as far as to accuse God. "God, you don't love me no more. God, you have left me in this." When he said, "I'll never leave you, nor would I forsake you." But pressure, stress sometimes will cause us to say things we never thought we would have said. So here is Jesus marching in to Jerusalem. Different scenario. Rushing to his destiny. He knew that within a few days he would have to lay down his life. He knew within a few days his assignment would be accomplished. The Bible said wherever he went, he was doing good. But he didn't come to raise the dead. Oh, you get quiet up in here. He didn't come to open the blind eyes. He didn't come to make the lame walk. He didn't come to feed the thousands. He came to die. He came to give his life so that we could have life. For the past few weeks, Apostle Richard was talking about the crossover. What Jesus did caused the crossover. The crossover. He gave his life so we could have life. He became sin so we can become righteous. He became poor so that we could be wealthy. Hallelujah. He crossed us over from darkness unto light. He came to die. That could not be accomplished without Jesus dying. A lot of folks celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Thank God he's resurrected. But there can be no resurrection without the crucifixion. Oh, you. He came into Jerusalem rejoicing, knowing that he's going to die in a few days because that's his assignment. remember when the soldiers held him in the Garden of Gethsemane due to Judas's betrayal? And Judas came and kissed Jesus. And Jesus said, "Friend, why would you call someone who betrayed you a friend?" You see, Jesus saw it different. He didn't see Judas's action as betrayal. He called him a friend because Judas was helping him to complete his assignment. So he called him friend. We got to understand that Jesus' death was necessary. We are sitting where we are sitting and enjoying the presence of God because of Jesus' death, because of the finished, complete work on the cross. So as he was coming into Jerusalem, his disciples didn't have a clue that this was the last week of his life, or they knew it. Great fanfare, great celebration. And maybe somewhere in the back of some of their minds, they're saying, "Ah, he has finally accepted who he is, the king. Our king is coming. He accepted the throne, but he knew that his throne was the cross. His destiny was that cross." The Bible says they got into Jerusalem and all the crowd began to follow and to cheer, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Most High." That the people in the city never saw such an happening behind one man. So they had to ask this question: who is he? Who is he? You see, I can understand folk asking the question, "Who is he?" because they don't know who he is. But you and I today, we have no right asking that question: who is he? Because we know who he is. We have a personal relationship with him. That is why you would never see me wearing an armband, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD. You'll never see me wearing that. Ask me why. Because I got a relationship with him. I know what Jesus would do. So I'm not going to ask, "Who is he?" or "What would he do?" Because I know him. When you know someone, you could be in the darkest night and you hear that voice. You know who it is. You can see them a mile off and you see just the way they walk. Oh man, that's Tyrone. Just by the way he walks, because you know them. Someone might come to you and say, "You know, Taisha said this and that," and you will say, "No." She won't say that because you know what Taisha would say, because you know her. So they were asking, who is this? Who is this man that has this great crowd following after him, singing and dancing? Now, the donkey couldn't think all this was for him. But thank God. Thank God. That donkey would have died a useless death, unknown, without Jesus. Jesus took an ordinary donkey and made it famous, made it worth something. Ain't that sweet? Same thing you did with your life and mine. We were that dumb colt. Tied up. Are you going to make me preach this thing today? Tied up. Not free, bound to tradition. Bound to our own passions. Bound to our own desires, our own will. Hooked on this. Jacked up here. Tore up from the floor up. Everything out of place. Nobody trusts us and we don't trust ourselves. But here comes the big change. When Jesus got on us. When Jesus got in us, all the mess had to go. You don't want to talk the truth, but I don't speak the truth. Listen, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Jesus, some of you folk wouldn't have what you have. Folks wouldn't dare trust you. Folks trust you now because God came in. Jesus rolled you into town. Hallelujah. He sat in you and redeemed you. You now become trustworthy. Folks used to look down on you. Won't give you the time of day, but because, hallelujah, Jesus now sits on the throne of your life. Folks are now seeing you in a different light. That colt was walking on expensive raiment, walking on the clothing of people. His feet were not touching the ground. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. When God gets in you, when Jesus possesses your life, when he begins to ride you, amen, you're going to come in contact with some good stuff. He's going to decorate your life. That cult was decorated. Listen, I want to equate that cult to our lives. Maybe you don't want to do it for you, but I'll do that for me. Because I know without him, I'm nothing. I'm just another donkey in the field. Oh, you don't want to talk about that about yourself. Because you tell yourself you're all of that. But without Christ, we are nothing. That cult would have lived out in existence in obscurity. But because Jesus got on him. Get on me, Jesus. Get on me, Jesus. I want Jesus to get on me. I want him to ride me. Hallelujah. Ride me to my destiny. Ride me to my purpose. Ride me to fulfillment. So they got into Jerusalem. And the question being asked, who is this? I promise I'm not going to keep you long and I won't. But I need to answer the question this morning. Who is this? One man said he's the Ancient of Days. Someone said he's the wheel in the middle of a wheel. I believe it was Jeremiah. One man said he's my strong tower. Another one said he's my shield and my buckler. Another one said, he's my city of refuge. I run in and I'm saved. Another one said, he's my high place. Well, I feel a preaching coming on. He's my high place. Someone said, he's my high priest. Oh, thank you, God. But can I be a little bit more specific? In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. Praise God. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is the God that provides. When Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. Hallelujah. Oh my God. And God stayed the hand of Abraham. And he said, Abraham, look in the thicket. I got a lamb right there, a ram tied up in the thicket for you. Abraham said, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that provides. I stopped by to tell somebody, who is this that is riding in on that colt? He is the God that provides. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying whatever you need today, he's able to provide it. He's Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 24, he is Jehovah Shalom. Oh Lord. The Lord who gives peace. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need him to show up as Jehovah Shalom. Maybe all your days are good days. I know you sing the song at times. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Oh Lord, you don't like me no more. Because that may be your favorite song. But some days with Jesus ain't sweet at all. Hallelujah. And those are the days that I call out to him and hope and pray that he shows up as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord that gives peace. Oh my God. Because sometimes the storms of life would blow your way and disturb your peace. Maybe you got it made in the shade. But sometimes my boat is rocking and the seas are rolling and the winds are contrary and I need the peace of God. Oh Lord. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, he is Jehovah Rapha. The God that heals. Is there anyone in the house today? You need Jehovah Rapha to show up. I don't know about you, but I need a healing. Oh. I need a healing. Even as I'm standing here talking to you, preaching, the enemy is attacking my body. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I need Jehovah Rapha. But the enemy is attacking me right now. My body is cramping up on me. But that's all right. Jehovah Rapha is in the house. He's my healer. He's my healer. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6, he's Jehovah Tiskanu. The Lord, our righteousness. The Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God. How did that happen? The crossover. Hallelujah. He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. Jehovah Tsiskenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah. Oh, I love this one. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there. The Lord that is there. The three Hebrew boys, they found Jehovah Shammah. When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, he was there. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he found out there is a Jehovah Shammah. Because the Lord was there. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he found out there is a Jehovah Shammah. Because the Lord was there. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where the devil thinks he got you. He can't hide you where God can't find you. David said, he said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly, oh, to the utmost, he's there. If I go to the bottom of the sea, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. If they put you in prison, my mind reminds me about Peter when he was locked up in prison. Oh, Lord. And he was asleep, naked, between prisoners and soldiers. The Bible said God showed up in the midst of the prison, shook Peter, get up, get dressed, put your shoe on, be getting out of here, because God is here. Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. You may be going through, but in the midst of your trials, he's there with you. It may not look that way. It may not feel that way. But he's there. He said, lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Because I'm the God that is there. He's the same yesterday, the same today, and forevermore. I remember the little boy growing up. I was scared of the dark. Even when I became a young adult, don't put me in a dark room. Man, I'd shake like a leaf. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I realized that no matter how dark it is, no matter where I am, there he is. All fear left me. Oh, praise God. Because he is Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. What do you mean, preacher? I don't know what your standard is, but my standard is Jesus. He is my banner. He is who I represent and who represents me. He is my identity, my identification. When I move with him over me. Hallelujah. He is my standard. Now, normally when you have a parade, and you have different groups in the parade, they are identified by their what? By their banner, which is called their standard. It tells the people who they are. He is my banner. When I stand under his authority. When I stand in his authority. When the devil sees me coming, he sees my banner. He know who represents me. He know who I'm working for and who I'm working with. He knows who covers me. Oh, God. He is my banner. And the banner of God carries a fragrance. Oh, Lord. The banner of God carries a fragrance. The banner of God carries an anointing. And the anointing carries a fragrance. How many of you know today you are anointed? You see this oil that we use, this olive oil that we use to anoint for? That's good for cooking. But the oil that we use back in the day, it was mixed in a special way. God told the apocryphers how to mix that oil for anointing. And he said it's not to be used on ordinary folk. You're looking at me strange. You see, the olive oil we can use it on anyone. You can even use it to fry some chitlins. But the anointing oil that God established, he said it's not to be used on anyone ordinary. And there are certain things about that oil that is different from the oil we call anointing oil today. One, it burned you. When you are anointed with that oil, it burns your skin and leaves a mark. What you saying, preacher? I said, Jehovah Nisi. When he anoints you, it leaves a mark on you. A mark that the enemy can see. Have you ever gone somewhere where nobody knows you? And someone walk up to you and say, you're a Christian? It's the mark of the anointing. It burns. And secondly, it has a fragrance. The anointing of God carries a fragrance. I can smell it on some folk. You see, you're looking at me strange. Oh, yeah. And the enemy picks it up. You see, you don't have to wear a big thing on your chest saying, I'm a Christian. When the Lord is your banner, you got the mark and you got the fragrance. You walk somewhere and the enemy knows. Before he sees you, he smells you. And they start to get out the way. Because they know the banner of the Lord is in this place. The Lord's banner, the Lord's people, the Lord's anointed, the Lord's chosen, hallelujah, is coming, is in the area. Let's make room. The Lord is my banner. And finally, Exodus chapter 31, 13. Jehovah Mekadesh. The Lord who sanctifies. Thank God for Jehovah Mekadesh. Because through him we are sanctified. You're sitting to someone, next to someone this morning. They're not ordinary. If they're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, they're sanctified. They're set apart. Sanctification is not just being made pure, but it's also being set apart for a holy use. So who is this morning? This Palm Sunday that came into Jerusalem. But let me make it more personal. Who is this Palm Sunday that marched into our lives? How many years ago that you got saved? You were there living your own life, minding your own business, doing your own thing. I don't know about you, but I could testify about me. When I got saved, I didn't plan on getting saved. I was enjoying what I was doing. We're going to speak the truth in God's house. You were enjoying what you were doing. You didn't come out of your mother's womb crying, I want to be saved. You didn't grow up thinking about being saved and being converted. No. You were living your life based on your natural nature, which is to sin. You didn't have to think about sinning. It came so easy. It's like putting on your shoes. Easy. You were doing your own thing and enjoying it. But one day, you heard the gospel preached before. You heard folks sang gospel songs and preachers preach, and it just rolled over your back like water off the back of a duck. But one day, he came marching into your life. That was your Palm Sunday. That was your Palm Sunday. That was the day you stopped and took a look at the situation. That's the day you ask yourself, who is this Jesus? Hallelujah. That's the day you begin to question your existence. You begin to question your purpose. Because here come this Jew, walking into your life, disturbing your peace and your plans. Oh my God. And for the first time you heard it clear the bell. Hallelujah. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is strong to save. And he is mighty to deliver. You heard it. He walked into your life. And he turned your life around. And he answered your question. Who is this? Your questions were answered personally. Oh God. The Bible tells us no man cometh unto God except the Spirit of God draws him. So that day, that symbolic Palm Sunday in your life, when he walked into your Jerusalem, you became aware of who he is. You ask the question, and he revealed himself. When God revealed himself to a man, that man can't resist. Once he revealed himself, all doubt is gone. All fears disappear. Who is this? Can I close with this question to you today? Who is Jesus to you? What is he to you? For many, he's a sugar daddy.
Be blessed. Amen. God bless you.
Bless you, everyone. Bless you again, man of God, for bringing the word of God. But when I walked in the house today, I usually never ask to come up because I just don't. But when I walked in the house today, I felt a strengthening in the house. God is really, he's moving. He's doing something in his people. I'm excited about it, but I discerned a great strengthening. And the Lord began to deal with my heart as I was sitting back here, and I knew what the Lord was asking of me. He was asking of me to prophesy over this house today. So everyone that is listening and everyone that hears, these are not the words of Tabitha. These are the words of God. He placed it in my heart to give. I didn't even want to come behind the man of God because the word was sealed in my heart, and the message that came forth was an on-time message. But the Lord beckoned me to prophesy. So for many of us, we have been raised around the church, in the church, but some of us have never been in or around the church. So when we speak the word of prophecy, you hear prophesy. The Lord wanted me to give understanding to what this is before I give the prophecy. Prophesying is simply, in the Greek definition, prophesy or to be prophesying is the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. This is not the revealed truth. When you hear someone prophesy, they're not just prophesying houses and cars and an increase in an abundance of finances. But when God really begins to use his vessels to prophesy, the revealed truth is what? The word of God. The word of God revealed is what a prophecy is. So before I prophesy, this is a two-part prophecy. The Lord wanted to give to me to release to this house. But God is bringing a great abundance in this ministry. For all those who are connected to Elevate Church, this is my house. I'm honoring the man of God and the woman of God of this house, the vision. Everyone that's connected, the man of God that has preached today, to the musicians, to everyone who gives, the ushers, the givers, everyone connected to this house, I'm prophesying on today that the Lord is bringing great abundance to you. So if you do not believe me, let me give you scripture. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah 8:10 speaks and says, "Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God," or to our Lord. "Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And when the Lord gave this to me, I begin to understand why the abundance must come to us. He is not bringing abundance to us just in finances, cars, houses. This will come. I'm telling you, and I'm prophesying that the Lord is about to bless you in the natural. But what is happening, he's bringing the abundance in the spiritual first. Because he's saying that I have to give my people more so that they can go out and bring it into those who have not prepared. So when he gave this message to me, he was saying that I'm about to bring more unto you not just in your house or in your car, your finances, or even in your careers, but he's bringing it to you in a spiritual sense so that every part of you will be complete. You will have more, an abundance of more to give to those who have none. This gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for the people of God. We are prepped and we are being prepared to go out into the nations. We can't go into the nations and we don't have any strength. But I want to, the final part of this is that the Lord is saying that many of you are in seasons. Are you just coming out of a season of troubling? Are you going into? Because the Bible says, and if you don't believe me, the Bible says that man born of a woman every day is full of trouble. Let's just expect this, you guys. We're in a war. We're in a war. But he never said we had to fight. He just said to stand. So, as this word goes forth in your life, the revealed truth of God, the Lord is saying that the final word, he's saying that he wants to encourage you in what is to come. And this is the last scripture he gave me, and I knew it was just divine. Because it says in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in his power and of his might. He didn't say be strong in your own self. He didn't say be strong in your own might. He said be strong in him. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have been depleted because we have been weak as saints and people full of authority because we have not found it in ourselves to find joy in the Lord. If we begin to find the joy in the Lord that is only in the Lord for his people, we will be strengthened. So I'm declaring a great strengthening in this house. The atmosphere was conducive to the strength of the Lord in this house, not just for today, but for the rest of your life. When you feel weak and you feel depleted and you have nothing else, life situations, hardships, struggles, and pain and loss, when you begin to feel weak, the Lord is saying, find joy in me. Find it in me because I am the one will give you strength in this house. So I declare over the internet that when any one of you begin to face hard situations because we don't know what life brings, the Lord is saying, find the joy in him so that you may be strengthened in your weakness. This is where the scripture says that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So no, he's not asking for a strong and a mighty people in itself, in ourselves. He's saying you can find everything you need right here in me. Ephesians 6 and 10 and Nehemiah 8 and 10. God bless you guys. You go in the Lord and in the strength and in the might of our God, Lord Savior. Everything that will come against us, we shall prevail in this house.
Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, saints. Hallelujah. All right. I want to pray a prayer of blessings over you. I want to thank Sister Tab for that word. I know it came from the Lord because it came from the Word of God. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Alvin for the word that the Lord placed upon his heart to feed us with this day. Amen. It was a great blessing to me. And I want you to take what you got today. Take it with you. Absorb it. Use it. That's what the word is for. Amen. So if you will, I can get everybody to stand. Sweet Spirit of the living God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for visiting this house. And Lord, you're welcome here. And we want you here. God, we need you here. Lord, we can't think without you. We can't function without you. Lord, we can't do nothing without you. We need you to walk for us, to speak for us. I pray that every heart would be strengthened. And I pray, Lord God, that just like my sister said, that joy, true joy, would only be found in you. Not in a bottle, not sucking on a weed, or none of those other things. But true joy and happiness is in you and you alone, God. Now, Lord, bless those, Lord God, today that came. I pray that you would bless their feet. Angels of the living God, I pray that you would surround them and keep them and protect them. We thank you, Lord God, for Apostle Keith and his precious wife and family. Father, we pray that you would shield them and you would give them traveling mercy, Lord God, as they go to and fro today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. See y'all Tuesday night. Bible study. Don't forget, men, if you want to sign up, just go to the back table. Amen. God bless you.
Excuse me, guys. If we can get some of the men to stay after service to help us straighten up a little bit, that'll be a blessing. Just it won't last that long. The more people we have, the quicker we'll get it done. Please. Thank you.